ladies and gentlemen, Lunch with Ginger and Corey. Thank you, thank you. Yay! Thank you. Remember not to watch the SAG Awards this weekend because those tricks support SOPA. Good morning, Ginger.
That's hot. Good morning. How are you?
I'm Virgin. How are you?
I've at least got the vim.
You got the vim.
The rest of it I'm working on. Lack of sleep is catching up.
You went to sleep early. How are you going to have lack of sleep?
No, I know, but I just I could not stay asleep, so.
You didn't get into that lovely deep REM sleep.
No. That was a little bit annoying.
I understand. I get it. So, lovely ladies and gentlemen, it's time for some news, I think. But I do have to share something interesting I found last night.
What did you find?
Well, didn't actually find it. It kind of found me. I had the TV on behind me. I like that noise. Mm-hmm. Did some work, played me some Tropico, killed a bunch of people in my city.
Oh, very nice.
Volcano eruption. It was real ugly. You don't want to know.
Yay for dead people.
When my little ears heard that Kevin Smith was getting his reality show. Now, you may say, who the hell's Kevin Smith? Let me see if I can take you all the way back to Jay and Silent Bob. Remember Silent Bob?
Uh-huh.
That's Kevin Smith. He's like uber nerd. Like, we love him.
Kind of hot.
He is very hot. However, this show, I think, is going to bomb horribly. Let me tell you the premise of the show. It's Kevin Smith's comic book shop. That's it.
All right.
It's a reality show. It's not any kind of sitcom, which I think would have worked better, something that he wrote and maybe started in as himself. But I think this is going to bomb horribly. The comic book geeks are not understanding. Just because Hollywood likes when you do the Captain Americas and the Spider-Mans does not mean they are embracing you. They do our movies, too, and some every once in a while they manage to do a good one. First Resident Evil, awesome. Does that mean they have embraced us? No, they do not.
They're just using us for our wallet.
Yeah, they do not get it. They don't understand what it's all about. So a reality show based on a comic book is not going to go over exciting. Also, considering it is on the AMC network, American Movie Classics is not good either. Now, that being said, the show The Walking Dead, based on a comic book, does well there. But again, it's based on the comic book. It's not a show about people reading the comic book or buying it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it goes over well. So I'm going to tell you, not going to work, Kevin.
No. And I like him. And I hope it does well. I'm thinking probably not so much. I mean, what's so funny? But
I didn't see the promos, but I was listening to it, and this tells you how good the promo is that I did not turn around to see. I was not that interested to see who was talking. And I think I might have caught a glimpse of some guy, and he was not cute. And I'm telling you, even when you stick geeks on TV, they still have to be hot people. The guy I saw was not cute. He just wasn't. They still have to be hot geeks. We're still visual. A lot of us are not visually beautiful. We still need a visual. You could have got better guys. I don't know. I just don't think it's going to work. I would love for it to because – and it just has no home. Technically, a show like that would be on G4 where it has an audience. The audience watching on AMC only – it's geeks usually only watches it for The Walking Dead. Sorry.
Yeah.
Anyway, good luck to you, Mr. Smith.
Good luck. I hope it goes well. Yeah, but right now we're thinking not so much.
I'm not thinking it's going to work. I want it to so badly. Mm-hmm. I really want it to work. Okay. Ginger, what's going on in your world? What you found delicious?
I won't say delicious. There are so many games out there, and so many of them making my head just go, oh, really? Really? Why, people? All right, this one might be amusing. Save the Egg, an addicting physics-based puzzler, now available in Android Market. Love some Android love. Yay! Alright, so at all costs, avoid breaking your precious egg. Save the Egg by independent developer Polycleft Software is a highly addicting puzzle game where the objective is to construct ramps, levers, protective casings, almost anything you can imagine to prevent an egg from breaking once you allow it to drop from the sky through 30 incredibly challenging levels. this is kind of neat. I remember doing this when I volunteered at a Boy Scout camp, and yes, there are some very interesting stories behind that. But anyway.
I was about to say, oh, you're going to share.
I learned a lot that summer. All right, so with its highly intuitive and easy to learn controls, Save the Egg is fun for anyone and everyone, regardless of age and gender. The game is easy to learn, yet hard to master, and each of the game's brilliantly designed levels become increasingly harder the further you progress. With its challenging play, built-in tutorial, and mind-bending puzzles, Save the Egg is the perfect pocket companion on your Android. And I almost laughed at that.
Pocket companion!
I was not thinking about a phone game, that's for sure.
Boobs!
Hey.
Okay.
Boobs! Alright, so that is free? Free ad-based version contains 5 levels up on the Android marketplace right now. So go over and check that out.
Oh. Jay said, "What's dedication? Being at home with a down PC, streaming the show over the tablet, and tweeting from the iPhone. That
Aww,
is love.
We love you, Jay. Mwah! I blow you kisses for that.
He got hugs from me, and Ginger's gonna grope you.
Yes.
Make sure you stand in line with your ticket for that. And let us know what number you are. She'll take care of you. Okay. Well, Red 5 Studios has asked a very interesting question that." We'll delve into now. We may talk about it again later because you know how we are. We can't get enough of sometimes railing about things. But Mark Kern, who's a veteran of Blizzard Entertainment and founder of Red 5 Studios, has questioned the utility of publishers to the modern game developer. In an interview with GI.biz about the controversial SOPA and PIPA bills, Kern observes that the industry's larger companies, particularly major publishers, tend to be for the legislation, while the dissenting voices generally come from smaller independent companies and consumers, which we told you.
Mm-hmm.
While both bills were ostensibly about the battle against piracy and the protection of IP, Kern believes that many of the companies supporting them were principally motivated by the need to control distribution. You guys get that? Meaning they want to control how you get a hold of that illegal game. He says it's all about restricting and condensing the distribution channels to just a few official ones, Kern says to the publishers that supported SOPA and PIPA. He says what you're seeing is a reaction to try and preserve the old business model. So you've got big companies lining up on one side of on one side, and a lot of small studios lining up on the other. Small studios are tired of being relying on publishers for distribution, for finance, for everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have to be that way anymore. Companies like Red 5, Riot Games, Mojang, and Myriad, and others have established successful models that accept distribution as both ubiquitous and free. This is the whole area of competition that the publishers cannot control. Kern believes that the publishers are financially motivated to reassert their control over distribution through legislation like SOPA and PIPA. But success stories like Riot Games raise important questions about their continuing relevance. For studios like Riot, they're free to play. They're online. They publish themselves. They're doing fantastically well, and they can do it with a game that costs a lot less than what studios have to pay. He says when you sell a box game, it's like who can stuff more millions in marketing and in content into $60 on a one-time purchase. Very true. There's a full interview with Mr. Kern over at GI.biz while he's discussing the still lingering threat of SOPA and PIPA and the formation of his lobby group, which we should check out joining called the League for
awesome.
Gamers. League for Gamers. Yeah. Go check that out and get all joined up. I love the way he's thinking. I've been saying that for a long time. These companies – actually, the ironic thing is these companies formed – by gathering a bunch of small companies together. If you think about EA was in existence, Bullfrog Games was what EA was before, and it made its money off the backs of simulators, which they very seldom do, and when they do them horribly now. They've lost the edge in that market. Same with World of Warcraft, Diablo, again, built their money off the backs of Diablo and being on AOL. Remember, there's a huge following of people that came from AOL that started playing Diablo because it was free to play if you were on AOL. So this free-to-play business is not new, y'all. Same with their World of Warcraft. They brought a few elements from EverQuest, and EverQuest, again, was the only thing that Sony had back in the day for our MMOs. See, all these companies became these mega companies, not because you know, they were doing anything great. They grabbed a bunch of smaller companies, or they had their one game and they built on it, and now they think they're entitled is what it is. It's kind of like gaming royalty is what you have to think about.
You is not entitled, people.
You're not entitled. Let these people do their games. That's how we, again, that's how we find the next Halo. You notice, okay, Microsoft didn't take a stance on SOPA, but they don't generally try to hold on to their people, because if you know, notice now, Bungie has left Microsoft, and there was no big hoopla. They've not gone after them. They're trying to make their own Halo, which Ginger think is going to be great. But I don't.
I hope so, man. I want to make some Halo. But you're right. It's not the original. The guys who made it are gone.
The magic is gone for me.
The magic is gone. They let the magic smoke out of the box.
There was, you know, I'm not gonna ask why you know about the magic smoke being in a box. We're just gonna move along to the next. Just overlook that. Just feel like I didn't hear it.
All right, what have I got? Combat Arms Europe brings you into the belly of the beast. The time has come to destroy your nemesis in the brand new Fireteam mode.
Get in my belly. Okay, go ahead.
I knew you were going to do it. All right, so Nexon Europe, who we love, is excited to announce that Combat Arms Europe, the killer online free-to-play FPS, is about to take players on a mission to obliterate the most vicious enemy of all. Prepare for the ultimate siege. For the first time in Combat Arms history, soldiers will be able to infiltrate the headquarters of the world's most evil, violent conglomerate. Welcome to the Fortress of Nemexis. On outside, it appears to be only an ordinary office building, but on the second site, on the second site, this new territory is controlled by blood-hungry, genetically enhanced super soldiers, ready to fiercely defend the murky secrets of their stronghold and to come down at you in waves. I know, right? The malevolent beating heart and center of this corporation is Nemexis CEO. You should consider him your target for elimination. Your secondary objective will be to locate the devastating Dread, a just recently finished prototype gunship with the capacity to end civilizations. Using technology obtained by force and intimidation, this potentially world-ending piece of weaponry must be found and destroyed. All right, so I just put up a trailer and everything for this over on GameMatrix.com. Head over there and check it out. And by the way, the music for it, well, the sound for it is loud, so I warn you.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. All right. First, I have a short one, and then I have a longer one.
Oh, what'd you do?
Rage. The one I was messing with before the show. Rage.
That sounded horrible.
Rage. My voice is horrible. HD, if you are one of the fans of it and playing on your iPhone, you need to know it's been updated to version 2.0. This update includes some new melee combat, official support for the iOS 5, and enables the in-app purchase of two new episodes, Kraken and Aqueduct. The new episodes are available for purchase for 99 cents via the store button on the Rage HD main menu. You can battle your way through the hit of the wastelands, Mutant Bash TV, when you're cast in the starring role of post-apocalyptic game show. You'll be stalked by hungry mutants while you scour pulse-pounding levels for ammo and cash pickups. Make a deal with J.K. Styles, the show's menacing host, and see if you have what it takes to survive this carnage-filled carnival of death. Rage HD is available for download on iTunes for your iPod, iPad, or iPod Touch for $1.99. Wait a minute, I'm trying to get you a link. Well, you can get that link from us here in just a second. I'm actually adding some really nice screenshots. And why is this basically The Running Man? And when is Stephen King going to lose? Because that's the fucking end. Bethesda.
Yes. That's going to be hot. I'm going to sit back with popcorn for that one.
Ooh, that's going to be juicy. I'm just waiting.
I'll be like, oh, no, you didn't.
We're going to play the song for you later on. Okay, then I have another lovely bit of news. Remember we were telling you about the whole conditions in the Chinese factories, you know, them threatening to commit suicide?
Yes.
This is so juicy. Wait a minute. I got to wipe my mouth. It's really juicy. Okay, so in an in-depth New York Times investigation into Chinese companies that manufacture products for Apple, they've highlighted what they're calling unresolved tension between the firm's efforts to improve conditions for workers and the need to meet its demands for its products. The article that's over there is based on the testimony of 36 current or former employees and current contractors, including half a dozen anonymous Apple executives, and a firsthand experience of the company's supplier responsibility group. They're saying that we've known about labor abuses in some factories for 4 years. And and they're still going on, said one of the former Apple execs. He says, why? Because the system works for us. Suppliers would change everything tomorrow if Apple told them that they didn't have another choice. He says, if half of iPhones are malfunctioning, do you think Apple will let it go on for 4 years? Mm-hmm. Chinese companies like Foxconn manufacture products for many of the world's leading technology companies, including Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo, and the notoriously poor working conditions in their factories have been widely reported, most recently after a group of 300 workers, which we told you about, that threatened to commit suicide at the Xbox manufacturing plant. However, the New York Times alleges that while Apple has introduced processes to monitor its suppliers, its efforts are compromised by a greater desire to increase production and cut costs. Apple created a supplier code of conduct to ensure, quote-unquote, safe and healthy working conditions and that employees are treated with, quote-unquote, dignity and respect. An ever-increasing number of factories are regularly audited to ensure compliance with that code. So in theory, suppliers are given 90 days to rectify their transgressions or they face a termination of the contract. However, when Apple's annual progress reports have shown steady improvement and the company has endeavored to educate workers about their rights, the unprecedented demand for Apple products has led to a conflict of interest. Again, the New York Times is reporting that half of Apple's audited suppliers have violated at least one aspect of the code every year since 2007, and in some instances have violated the law. The offenses largely relate to working hours, wages, living conditions, but have also included core violations like the employment of underage workers, the falsification of records, improper disposal of hazardous waste, and workers injured by exposure to toxic chemicals. Mm-hmm. The article.
Oh, this is not going to be good. Oh, yeah. Holy crap.
See, okay, so the article claims that core violations are found in 2007 and further 70 over the next 3 years. However, despite the consistent violations, former Apple execs say the company has ended its relationship with less than 15 suppliers since 2007. He's also this anonymous exec is also quoted as saying, "You can set all the rules you want, but they're meaningless if you don't give suppliers enough profit to treat the workers well."
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, you can pop over to the New York Times and check out the article. Where really good. And, of course, there's a nice argument about it going on over at GIA.biz from a lot of the developers, and we may be talking about it later on tonight. Should be quite interesting, eye-opening to hear my girls here's comments, and Blaster, if he decides to stop in and sit with us.
Yes, holy crap, that's not good.
Yes, we want to know if you guys would still be buying iPad when somebody died to make it for you is my question. Think about that.
No, Apple, y'all.
You don't answer now, save it for later.
Because I can't say, oh, good Lord, stop. Okay. Hopefully y'all can't hear music in my headphones because I just clicked on something I shouldn't.
No, you're fine.
All right, good. Oh, stop. There we go. All right. I hate when that happens. Free press. A lawmaker should give back MPAA contributions. Yes.
Yes.
All right, so GamePolitics.com, Joel Kelsey, a top political advisor for Free Press, has written an editorial urging U.S. lawmakers who have taken money from the Motion Picture Association of America to give it back. Yes.
That's right.
So writing over, I'm not going to tell you where this is at. All right, yes, I am. Writing over at SaveTheInternet.com, Kelsey makes this request in light of recent comments from MPAA President Chris Dodd made to Fox News. So what was said, those who count on Hollywood for support need to understand that this industry is watching very carefully who's going to stand up for them when their job is at stake.
Oh, yeah, we talked about that yesterday.
Did we?
Yes.
All right, so we wrote about it. So we talked about this. All right, let me grab a different one.
Yes, ma'am.
Yay! All right, THQ touts St. Rowe, the third numbers, get lambasted by alleged former employee.
Oh, here we go again.
All right, so for the third time this year, I got all kinds of disrupted by that stupid music. For the third time in the past year, THQ has announced once again that it is moving away from licensed titles targeted at children and is focusing instead on core games. THQ will be a more streamlined organization focused only on our strongest franchises, says Brian Farrell, president and CEO of THQ. Good Lord, I'm losing my voice. also points out that Saints Row the Third is doing very well, having shipped 3.8 million units globally with expectations of 5 to 6 million shipped during the life cycle of the title. Of course, on the same day that THQ touted these numbers and reaffirmed its abandonment of licensed children's titles, an anonymous email, gotta love those, said to be former employees, encouraged THQ's board of directors to fire its top executives for mismanaging employees and resources over the last 5 years. Ah, right. So the anonymous letter was sent to the media and THQ's board of directors, urging them to fire CEO Brian Farrell, Ian Curran, EVP and head of global publishing, Ed Kaufman, EVP of legal and business affairs, and Martin Good, EVP and head of kids, family, casual. They say we cannot confirm who sent the letter or if it was really sent by a former employee of THQ. The letter claims the reason it went anonymously was to protect several recently released employees who are still waiting for severance checks from the company. They say, assuming it is real, some former employees are probably bound by non-disclosure agreements, too. And they've actually posted the letter. If you want to read this, oh, and it is long. Holy bejeebus. If you want to read this, it is over on GamePolitics.com this morning. So go over there and check that out.
All right. Wow, I love how my stuff is all loading super, super slow. Amazing. Apparently Bill Gates is trending for some reason on Twitter. I'm trying to find out why right now, and it's punishing me. Why won't you let me load stuff, Ginger?
Don't punish her. All right, I can jump in.
Jump in another one.
All right, what have we got? Wargame European Escalation presents its 361 different units today. All right, so Wargame European Escalation, the explosive real-time strategy game developed by Eugene Stone, who made Ruse and Act of War, offers players the control through armed conflict between NATO and the Warsaw Pact of more than 360 different units, ouch, and vehicles faithfully modeled after those used during the 1975 through 85 period. I was just a baby. Aww. All right, so through 8 exclusive screenshots, we unveil today the 180 different units composing NATO forces. Players will be able to select and recruit them to form their army, both in solo and in multiplayer, thanks to an original and innovative deck system. All right, so we have four nations from NATO take part in the battles raging. You can discover on today's screenshots American, British, West German, and French units. It comes to a total of 180 different units, tanks, infantry, helicopters, support vehicles, etc., all modeled after their real-life counterparts. Wargame's powerful engine, the Iris Zoom, animates all these units in an incredibly huge map as big as 150 square kilometers, which display over 100 million scenery objects. Wow, that's crazy. Battles end up as spectacular as they are realistic and deeply strategic, while hundreds of vehicles, infantry, and helicopters battle fiercely over the war zone. All right, so I've got this up on GamingMatrix.com already this morning. Head over there and check that out.
All right. Well, you guys remember Netflix was saying, we're going to offer games for you guys? Lies, lies.
You liars. You liar, liarson.
Well, Netflix is no longer planning to offer a video game disc rental by mail service to complement its DVD by mail and streaming video subscription service. The company revealed just yesterday, later in the day, during its fourth quarter earnings call. The video game rental service was originally announced back in September as part of the Netflix effort to spin off its DVD rental business into a separate company called Quibster, which Netflix subscribers had long begged for, would have offered game disc rentals for Xbox 360, PlayStation 3, and the Wii. After a month of hearing complaints that the new physical rental service would no longer integrate with the streaming video service on any level, rental queue, billing, recommendations, you know, that kind of business, Netflix decided to kill off Quibster. Netflix executive team casually mentioned the company's lack of interest for adding video game rentals during the earnings call, offering no additional comments for how or why it reached this conclusion. Netflix management has also stated that it wasn't interested in offering a streaming cloud video game distribution service, which probably would have been very profitable for them. Management was open to the idea of streaming 3D films through Netflix unlimited video streaming service, but that's pretty much about it. The consensus is that the business model for renting out game discs, much like DVD rentals, is unattractive because shipping costs could continue to rise. So depending on how much this cost increase, the rental company can either take a hit or pass the savings on to us. They also have competition from GameFly as well and GameStop, who already have a head start on them.
All right, so sorry, I was reading this. Twisted Metal to include online pass. Yay, I'm pulling this from GamePolitics.com.
Make Lester very, very happy, and he'll be talking about that later.
Yes. We missed this a couple of days ago, but it's an important story for fans of Twisted Metal. They say, according to industry gamers, Eat Sleep Play's Twisted Metal for PlayStation 3 will include an online pass system that requires you to punch in a code to play online. All right, so David Jaffe, the creator of Twisted Metal series, has said in the past that he is against the addition of the online pass to his game, but noted that it's not my call, and I totally understand if Sony has a company, or Sony as a company said, look, this is a mandate that permeates all of our titles. I cannot read. We are not making selective choices. The addition of online pass was confirmed at CES by Twisted Metal's QA lead. Basically, this means that if you happen to buy the game used, you'll have to pay extra money to play online. They say they don't know how much, but they assume it's going to be around $5 to $10 USD.
Wow.
Yay. All right. Well, you know, we've already been talking about a lot of games are moving towards this, and, you know, we don't like it, but yeah.
I'm having some major slowdown going on over here. Okay.
No, I've got mental slowdown going on. I have a lack of sleep. Ugh.
I've got some major slowdown going on. Something's running on my pee that shouldn't be. Ginger May, you may have to do another one because I'm having some issues. I don't know what's going on.
I can do that. We love us some Paradox. Why Paradox doesn't use DRM? And GLaDOS has got you, like, bad.
Me? Or you?
You.
I'm not talking.
All right, well, when you were talking, it did. Paradox Entertainment CEO and co-owner... I told you, my brain is all kinds of slow, wrong gears. Paradox Entertainment CEO and co-owner Fred Wester thinks that digital rights management schemes are a waste of money, a hassle to users, and usually implemented to appease a CEO or board of directors that thinks it somehow stops piracy. Who is this? Fred Wester told GameSpy, if you take something like Sony's DRM SecuROM, it's a waste of money. It will keep you protected for 3 days. It will create a lot of technical support, and it will not increase sales. I know this for a fact because we tried it 8 years ago, and it never worked. For two reasons, it costs money, and it makes you lose money, and the other is that it's so inconvenient to customers. Wester also revealed that his company hasn't used DRM of any kind for about 8 years. He says, if you are a CEO, you need to cover your back. And the people who ask the board know nothing about games. They are there because they're some investment company or something, and they ask, so what are you doing to protect our game from pirates? And then they can reply, we're buying the solution from Sony. Wester also singled out Ubisoft's always connected DRM method, which he called SO 2003.
Oh, God.
People who purchase a game should have just as easy a time as those who pirate the game. Otherwise, it's negative incentive to buy a legal copy.
It really is.
True story.
It really, really is.
Wow.
He's dead on.
Uh-huh.
If you paid for it and you can't play and the pirated person is overlapped, it's bad.
Yes. Yes. Very, very, very bad.
And a lot of them don't get that. Okay.
Is it working for you?
We're going to hope so. we're going to try and hope it's working. All right. Come on. Wait a minute. Wow. I think it's Twitter that was causing the issue.
Oh, no, Twitter. Don't you be messing with
that's
on Twitter.
That's just weird. That's just weird. Okay, Twitter, you're closing down. You're causing the issues. I think it was Twitter. Bye, Twitter.
Bye, Twitter.
See, you got ginger kisses. Okay. And it's still moving slow. I stand corrected. Maybe it wasn't Twitter. Although it did say it was over capacity, so it's causing something. It's doing something it's not supposed to be doing.
Stop downloading the porn. I can go with another one if you want.
You may have to. Still. Wow. Okay.
All right. Coral rejected by a published... Doing it all night long. All right. So Coral... a word game. Coral developer Dinky says that its Xbox Live Arcade word game was rejected by several major publishers multiple times. The developers are calling on gamers to prove wrong publishing executives who say that people don't buy word games by buying the game. The multiplayer word game launched on Xbox Live Arcade today. In a post on the company blog, managing director Colin Anderson said that the struggle to land a publishing deal caused Dinky to restructure and lay off a number of its staff in April 2010. Coral was eventually released for iPhone last August and now is available on Xbox Live Arcade. Anderson says, and not because their game acquisition teams didn't recommend signing it, almost without exception, every acquisition team we showed it to thought it was certifiable, bankable hit, just as we did. The problems only started once they passed Coral up the decision tree to their finance and marketing teams, a bit more commonly known as the industry. We heard the same justifications for passing it on over and over again ad nauseum. One signal came through clearer than any other among the general noise of reasons why Coral wasn't for them, and that was this: gamers don't buy word games. That's a lie. Word with friends, anybody? Anderson disputes the claim vigorously and calls on gamers to buy a copy, or four, it's only 400 MSP, and send a message to those that refuse the game. Whatever helps people to hear about it and not simply ignore it, it would be most welcome to buy us, particularly as Microsoft seems to have gone out of its way to relegate games to an afterthought in the most recent redesign of the Xbox 360 dashboard. Ooh, that's a blow. That's a blow. You got a point.
That was a punch. That was a punch.
Yeah. Ooh.
Looks right, like it hurt.
If y'all are into word games, Coral is apparently, you know, looking for some players.
All right. Well, those of you who love you some vampires, will be Space Time Studios takes its mobile and desktop Legends franchise to a whole new frightening level with Dark Legends. Players will embrace the secret societies of vampires to challenge hordes of undeads, werewolves, demons, and humans that hunt them. The title will be released for Android, iOS, and Chrome in the first quarter, which will be sometime, hopefully, before March. Get it together. Mm-hmm. Again, Space Time Studios is in Austin, Texas. Woo! Okay. For fans of the popular Legends franchise, Pocket Legends and Star Legends will discover a gameplay evolution in Dark Legends that draws them deeper into the experience. The combat system will deliver fast-paced action.
Sorry.
That includes new mechanics such as charge attacks and the ability to drain enemies. A wide breadth of solo and multiplayer content will also be available. You know, you can't do this. You will not see this on your morning news on TV, people.
No. I
mean, it just won't happen. The most significant change is a much deeper focus on narrative. So in addition to the story communicated during the 3D multiplayer missions, players will periodically be given the option to complete quick action missions with a single tap. Bam. And these missions use brief cutscenes to create an interactive storybook where players will experience the life of a vampire close up and personal. Company's goal for Dark Legends is to combine casual strategic advancement content with their award-winning real-time 3D multiplayer system to create a blend of gameplay never seen before. Dark Player opens with the player being recently raised and under the direction of the vampire that sired them. The secret existence of vampires has been exposed, and angry, misguided humans are uniting to exterminate.
Misguided, you're eating nuts.
Players must work with their clan to survive this brutal new world. The previous Legends titles, Fantasy Pocket Legends and Sci-Fi Star Legends, The Black Star Chronicles, have been downloaded more than 7 million times so far, making the world's largest mobile franchise. Dark Legends will be showed for the first time publicly at GDC 2012. Yay!
Yay!
I am never sure which GDC it is, so please don't message me going, is it at GDC in Austin? Is it in San Francisco? Is it the online one?
We never know, people.
We never know until the GDC people actually come and says, okay, we have a pass for you. Are you coming? Well, you might have ought to want to told us that.
Yes.
And that
yes,
was a yes. Southernism. You might have ought to want to told us that before. Because we had no idea.
I love you, Koi.
Fun, fun, fun.
Yes, yes, yes. All right, what do we got? I'm probably going to say...
You meant news. Okay, never
mind. Yeah.
I got cherry juice. I don't know what y'all got.
I've got tea. Okay. I got tea with fake sweeteners.
Cherry.
All right. Are you whispering? All right, so Games Campus CART announces closed beta dates. CART builds momentum leading to launch later this year. Armies, heroes, signature weapons, storyline events all await you in a deck of 64 precious cards. Really? I'm not reading about a card game. Anyways, and the opportunity is upcoming soon. GamesCampus.com tipped their hand with new assets and a countdown to closed beta for their first global online trading card game, CART. Anyways, due to launch in North America next month. Registration is now open, and bona fide card carriers can dash over to CART, CARTE.GamesCampus.com. Am I saying that wrong? Is that CART? Okay. Anyways, and become the first to experience all the card slinging in action when CART enters beta on February 23rd. All right, so are they All right, so let me see. Starting in just 4 weeks, players will have the opportunity to leap into an exquisite world filled with lush story and an encompassing lore. Players joining CART will almost immediately gain a starter deck for each nation, so they can explore both the deck-building possibilities and the underlying story expressed through the cards. Each nation in Arcadia has its own heroes, villains, and plots to be unveiled as the game progresses. The continent of Arcadia is entering the bloodiest conflict it has ever seen, and the battles will play out on the card table of CART. Each deck is led by a hero card of the player's choice, with the heroes from the storyline such as the elf Sera Tazdelin or the evil king Belial available. Oh, good lord of the names. All right, so players then build a 64-card deck around their hero, with cards representing not only the armies of their nation, but also the important storyline events or signature weapons. All right, so if you're into the card games, on GameMatrix.com. Where? I lean back into my chair. It feels like something's poking me.
No comment.
Yeah.
Not that kind of poking. We told you not to do that on the air.
Oh, she's no fun. Y'all see this? She never really have any fun.
Shh, it's okay. Okay.
Okay.
Juicy stuff.
Ooh. Nom, nom, nom?
Yeah, nom, 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 nom. More juicy stuff. NCSoft and Blue Hole Studios, the next big battle. Ooh. And in your left corner.
Yes. Hot. So what are they fighting over?
NCSoft has filed a trade secrets and unfair competition lawsuit against rival MMO developer Blue Hole Studios over a U.S. version of its game Terra, alleging it was developed using stolen assets. Yes, I had to go to my UK accent. Bluehole was founded by former NCSoft employees. Its US subsidiary, En Masse Entertainment, planned to launch an English language version of Terra in May. But NCSoft has argued that the game is based on stolen property. I had to say it again. These individuals did not leave NCSoft empty-handed or with benign intent. The complaint from NCSoft alleged that the former employees, according to MMO Culture, that's a website. You know them? We know them. We know everything. Okay, so to the contrary, they made off with copious amounts of confidential and proprietary NCSoft information, computer software, hardware, and artwork relating to Lineage 3. Really, people? That's the best shit. Okay, so their business plan was simple and audacious. Create a competing product using the very work they had done while at NCSoft. Launch it themselves to great fanfare and acclaim, and in the process, deal a crippling blow to their former employer. How dare they? NCSoft. Yeah. Soft damages to stop the release of the U.S. version of the game. En Masse Entertainment has so far only responded through its official form and then only to say it would not comment on legal matters. Our comment is no comment. Terra actually launched in Korea last year, and even though NCSoft won a similar legal battle there, which saw the former employees convicted of stealing trade secrets, a civil case in which NCSoft was awarded damages from Bluehole was later overturned. You know, NCSoft, let it go. Just let it go. It's Lineage 3. It's not like
the big stuff. She totally just said that. It's just Lineage 3.
I mean, I don't even know. Of all of us here, we kind of play a wide variety of some games, and none of us here play Lineage 3. Matter of fact, guys, the story that we keep telling you where Blash and I were falling asleep during the NCSoft conference when they fed us everything, it was during the Lineage 3 portion.
There, I don't blame y'all at all.
Dead to the world, snoring in the back.
That hot.
Full of cookies and juice and sandwich and chip. I was dead to the world. I cannot tell you what Lineage 3 is about. I still have some the goodies that they gave us. Like, I have a 3D puzzle thing that I keep in the closet. These are my gamer goodies. I have that in there that they gave me, and some taggy things I sometimes wear as jewelry. But no, there's nothing else.
That's hilarious.
Let it go, Auntie Soft. It's not even worth it.
Let it go. Let it go.
Or at least, why don't they ever ask for money? I don't understand that. With, you know, they keep saying how hard the economic times are. Why are they never asking for money?
Yeah.
You know, I want 10% of the profits, and you can go ahead and do it. 10% royalties, whatever you make, I want it. For all time.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. In perpetuity, that's what that means.
Yes. Wow. Yes.
It's time for us to take a break, Jen.
Oh, it is. Oh, hey, look at that.
Yes. Okay. I'm trying not to pick this one dubstep that I like, because it's usually the cussing one.
Aw, come on. You know you want
to. All right, fine then. Ginger requested, just so y'all remember. If you're at work, you get in trouble, it's Ginger's fault.
You blame me, I ain't scared. You guys, contact me at ginger@gamingatrix.com. I'll tell them it's okay. Now remember, you can find this and other news. I'll wait. Here at gamingatrix.com. Radio. Find us everywhere. And of course, if you're on tonight, you're there. 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Fuck! Mr. Dr. P with Tetris Dubstep. Yes, you can find that on YouTube. Just look for him. And remember that if SOPA passes, you will never be hearing that again. Okay. Ginger? What have we got? Pow! Microvolt launches all new non-pow wow update.
Wait. You said pow, all lackluster. Pow.
I know. Pow! Yeah, I've totally got my hands up in, like, fists.
I know, that's why I'm laughing.
All right, so players will discover new parts for the hip-hop action figure Nox, a new bitmap map, and trailer, and much more. Rock Hippo Productions announced today the launch of its Nox Pow Wow update for the popular cartoon-style third-person shooter Microvolt. This latest update features exciting new parts for the hip-hop action figure Nox, plus a peek inside the developer's office with a new map, Bitmap, Microvolt's new trailer, and screenshots highlight these exciting updates to the game, and players can visit microvolt.com for all the details. Or, you know, just go over to gamingatrix.com. All right, so Nox, a superposable hip-hop action figure, uses his street smarts and heavy build to defend himself in the toy battlegrounds. As a constant jokester, comic relief is always a part of his gameplay, but with Nox's tough exterior comes the heart of gold. This new update centers around this favorite Microvolt's character and features all new chief and warrior costume sets inspired by traditional Native American outfits.
What?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My people just rolled over in their grave.
I know, right? Players can also get excited about the new katana melee weapons, as well as the three new... Oh, good Lord. They keep running words together, so y'all going to have to forgive me.
Maybe
I know I'm
stuttering
anyway, so this is not any better. As well as three new rare rifles, a brand new costume set for Pandora, all of which are available exclusively in Microvolt's capsule machine. Another cool post of the update is a new bitmap based on the developer's actual office space. That's kind of neat. This challenging new battlefield takes place on top of office desks, behind computer screens, and various other office supplies.
What office? You know what? Mm-mm.
That is cute. Players can finally become part of the developer's world as they fend off enemies to reign supreme in this ultimate toy battle. Nox is a Microvolt fan favorite, and players are going to love the new parts to this for the streetwise, super flexible figure that always keeps his fans and opponents in stitches, says Howard He, president and CEO of Rock Hippo Productions. And I've played this game. It's totally cute and so much fun. So, and free. Did I mention it's free? So head over there and download this. It's so much fun. You'll really enjoy it.
No, and you can't make me.
You should. And I wish I could. You'd have fun.
No, and you can't make me.
Nom, nom, nom.
That's ginger of the day. Nom, 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 nom.
Yes, yes, yes.
And Jay just said to you, pow, pew, pew, pew.
Pow, pew, pew, pew. Give me a laser.
There's something wrong with y'all.
We're something totally right.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to see how I gloss over that, see what I did there. Okay. Really quickly, those of you who want to be in the Dare to Be Digital applications are officially open. Pop over, daretobedigital.com. Being hosted by Averte Université. I like to say it that way. It's not Université, but, you know, it rhymes.
Yeah.
All right, so Art of Crime has joined forces with Christian Batiste, best known for his role at Tsulaki as Senior Vice President of Habbo Hotel. They're expected to expand their Crimeville franchise. Crimeville launched in beta in 2010 for the children's market and currently has an accompanying card game in Denmark. It hopes to expand globally this year, beginning with Benelux territory. Benelux, that's right, that's French. This partnership means a lot to us, Christian is saying. That's what they're saying over the company. Christian experienced firsthand the challenges Habbo's online world had from its birth to managing well over 300 million registered users, said CEO Ida Brink. Brink? Yeah, Lund? Yeah, Ida. I'm just going to call you Ida. Okay. I just will be able to benefit Ida from his experiences and present what next generation companies like most of us develop to become really successful internationally. So they've got a super in-house team and now the most amazing partner. So we're ready to bring it. She said deliver, but I'm putting in bring it. The 6 to 13-year-old target demographic of the game will pit the MMO up against popular existing products like the Penguin Club and Moshi Monsters. You also forgot Disney Online, duh. Of course, they're probably not competition. Art of Crime is also planning an augmented reality mobile game, merchandise, and television show. I'm completely blown away by Crimeville as a theme from the play perspective and now also as a business opportunity, said Batiste. He says, I believe that Crimeville can become a global brand, bigger than most of the successful online games today, and I haven't seen a single online game company that has developed a total cross-media strategy from scratch and designed the whole platform for a cross-media expansion before launch. And being so young in the market with good results, I believe Crimeville can be a global phenomenon. The game currently has 80,000 registered users across Scandinavia. Since we see old business models dying, but there are a range of new ones surfacing, added Brennick Lund, or Ida, as I'm going to call her. Since we believe the future lies in breaking existing value chains in order to create a new business model, because tweens don't differentiate between platforms, nor should we as companies. This is true. Mm-hmm. Having an expert like Christian Batiste agreeing with this, this is huge because he has a history of being at the right time, being at the right place at the right time. Who wrote the business? You can check it out over at gi.biz. Wow. I just...
Well, good, y'all.
Yeah, I love them at GA.biz, but yeah, sometimes y'all need to read what you wrote out loud. We can't talk either. Sometimes I find some stuff on our site. I'm like, oh, why did I write that sentence that way?
Yes. Oh, my God. All right. I got to do this one just for the title. And I'm going to lose my voice 1 second. Oh, good Lord. Yeah.
Stop it.
Hey, hold on. I got to go back. Where was it? 1 million people have lost their innocence and signed up. Virgin Gaming reaches 1 million registered members. Yeah. Online competitive gaming surging with huge prize pools for top video games. The industry leader in online competitive gaming, VirginGaming.com, continues to grow at a rapid rate as the company today announced that they have surpassed the $1 million milestone. To date, over $7 million in cash prizes have been awarded, over 4 million game challenges have been issued, and registered members are using an average of 72 minutes per visit logged on to virgingaming.com. These numbers continue to increase daily as publishers continue to integrate the Virgin Gaming platform into their franchise properties. Rob Siegel, CEO of Virgin Gaming. Yeah, I know. Rob Siegel, CEO of Virgin Gaming, says, we knew we were onto something and that our service had significant potential. We just didn't realize it would take off as quickly as it did. Our team continues to evolve the experience on a daily basis. The user feedback has been a key component in our upgrades. The responses have been resoundingly insightful and positive, so we are very excited for our current direction and what the future holds, including the expansion of the biggest and best tournaments for mobile and social games. All right, so if you want to do this, you got to head over to virgingaming.com and check that out. That sounds kind of fun. Looks like they have anything from EA Sports, Madden NFL 12, NHL 12, FIFA 12, and several other titles. So go check that out. Maybe you can win some money.
Boo.
Boo.
I think Virgin and I are going to be breaking up.
Uh-oh.
I do. I think it's over between us.
Oh, that's not good.
It's a hard breakup.
Oh, no.
I love them so dearly. All right. So, probably by the time you're listening to this, if you're listening to streaming, Funcom has sent to us new location video for The Secret World, the company's upcoming modern-day MMO. You can catch a glimpse of Blue Mountain, a foreboding place haunted with a terrifying past where players will stand face-to-face with the rising darkness that's threatening to destroy our world.
Nah, 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 nah. I don't know why. Sorry.
I know what I do. It's always going to make me laugh. Snows is the bug eye thing. That one right there when you do it. Crack it every time. Oh, y'all stop. Yeah, they also sent us 6 new screenshots from the Blue Mountain location. Again, this will go up probably by the time you're listening to this, if you're listening streaming. The Secret World is consistently mentioned as one of the most highly anticipated MMOs in development. It's supposed to be breaking new grounds and genre conventions by introducing a modern-day setting, a story-focused MMO experience, and a free-form progression system using no classes and no levels. Last year, again, Funcom announced that over 500,000 of us were now registered for the ongoing beta testing. Secret World is published by The Devil, EA, and will ship in April. And, oh, man, y'all not going to see me for 2 months. Okay, so I got this. I got The Sims. I got some update content from Dead Island. And then, yeah, just count me out. I'll be gone till about May, the middle of May.
All right.
She's like, oh, no. But she's like, oh, no, the hell, you're not. That's what Ginger just said. Oh, no, the
no
hell.
No. I need my core. I need my core.
You don't need me.
Oh, no.
What happened?
Uh-oh.
What?
European Union signs ACTA, the future of treaty and doubt. Yep. All right, so GamePolitics.com this morning, this just popped up. While the European Union has officially signed ACTA, it's not all bad news for those worried about this anti-piracy treaty negotiated in secret. For one, it is an international treaty, which means that it has to be approved by the European Parliament.
Thank God.
All right, there's a name here, and I can't say it, so I'm just going to give you the initials. MS, a member of the Alliance of Liberals and Democrats for Europe and the European Parliament, said this week that the European Parliament has the decisive voice on ACTA. The good news is that the first public views on ACTA will take place in the key committee schedule for February 29th through March 1st. The committee is expected to hold its vote on the ratification of the treaty in April or May, with a full parliament vote expected sometime in June. With the defeat of SOPA and PIPA in the United States and more awareness of just what ACTA is all about, a vote is likely to be close on its ratification in the parliament. I'm going to try the name Ashaki. And other members of parliament said that don't like ACTA are calling for a grassroots effort to swing the votes needed to defeat ACTA in the EU. They say, interestingly, no other country has officially ratified ACTA. Mexico, one of the few countries to vote on it, has soundly rejected the treaty in its Senate via a non-binding resolution. It's because it's flawed. Seriously flawed. And whoever came up with it should be shot from a rocket to the sun.
I was going to say set on fire. leech and let you pay.
Sounds going to be much harder.
I'm more about the torture. I don't need him to die. I just need him to be fearful. I need you, ironically.
Burn your eyebrows off.
Look, ironically, this is from, what's the Megan Fox movie where she was the vampire? I did like the one line in the movie.
She was a vampire?
Oh, she's some kind of, it's disgusting. She's some kind of creature, demon, vampire thing. But the movie. Yeah.
Something about body.
Yeah. Yeah, it is the body or something like that.
Yeah.
I think it is. But I didn't like the movie, but I do like her one line. I need you desperate and I need you hopeless. That's what I want for them. I need them to be desperate and hopeless. I don't want to kill you. I just want to torture you forever. Like hell. See how that works? Yes, be afraid, people, be afraid.
Be very afraid.
Never afraid for your life. I will never kill you, but I will torture you. All right. Do we have some fun? All right. Very, very quickly. Apparently there's some brawling going on for us here in the Americas. Mm-hmm. Brawling? Did you say Raleigh or brawling? Okay, no, I'm sorry. Cultures Online, the group brawl for the Americas begins. Brave explorers have been busily conquering colonies in the Americas since November. In GameGo's browser game called Cultures Online, the latest update will allow you lovely players to band together with your friends and found a tribe colony, unlock new set items, and wage war against other tribes. Dadgone it, because they deserve it. A special new wonder of the world has also been added and can be built in the tribe's settlement. Tribes can have up to 50 members. It was previously limited to 30. Rewards for logging in daily have been improved and expanded to 14 and 21 days. New colony, Cuba, is available for level 130-plus players. Inviting friends will reduce your construction time in the village. This looks interesting. I've been avoiding it, but since it's got a whole tribe and colony business, I'm curious to see what it is. Let me see. If I see some anime characters, I'm out of here, people. Okay.
Any anime?
I don't see any anime, but I am allowed to create my own Viking realm, which I like.
Ooh.
Okay, this looks the screen.
Are they hot Vikings? That's what I
mean. No, they're not like our Viking blaster. They're not hot, but not Vikings. All right, I don't know about this now. Looks like one of them click and go things. I'm looking, y'all, as if we don't have enough games to play.
Wait. What kind of clicking games? Because I like some clicking games.
I can't really tell. It looks like it has some complication to it, which y'all know I like, which is why I was playing Tropico last night for so long. But I can't really tell, honestly. It, when I say clicking, I'm thinking Cafe World, that kind of business.
Yeah.
Which Ginger does, like, girl, have you seen the invitations in Wedding Street? You have not been accepted.
Oh, no. So I back over to Wedding Street, y'all are never going to see me again. Oh, my God. I know. Oh, I loved that game.
The invitations, Ginger, are there, finally. We were waiting, and I've been sending out the invites to y'all. Y'all will not accept them. I need it so I can make invitations. Come on.
Oh, y'all are going to kill me.
It's in love, baby. It's all in love.
It's not in love. No. That's mean and horrible.
God's love for you. All right. We're going to take you out with a little bit of Lestat. Lestat, go ahead and do this. See you guys later tonight. Make sure you're there. 5, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Yeah, we all do.
Girls.